Hi, everyone. Welcome to the NovaCare Complex. I'm Dave Spadaro. On this Wednesday night, the first 2 days of free agency have been wild and woolly and fun here in South Philadelphia. The Eagles making some moves leading up to free agency, and now that the period has started, taking care of some business. So what we want to do tonight is get you acclimated to the pace of everything, because we want to get some phone calls and get your reaction to what's happened here the first couple of days of free agency. It's been really nuts around the league. The Eagles have added three players, and they've re-signed Donnie Jones, and we all know that. Patrick Chung released. Eagles then introducing Malcolm Jenkins, a three-year deal, agreed to terms yesterday. He is in the building. He will meet the media in about 25 minutes, so we look forward to seeing him. Just a tremendous young man. Chris Margos, a safety who played with the Seattle Seahawks last year, agrees to terms on a three-year deal this morning, followed by Brian Braman, a linebacker from the Houston Texans, a two-year contract. Both of those players here to add depth to the defense and, perhaps more important, make a big difference on special teams. So we'll get into those players in just a little bit. John McClain from the Houston Chronicle will join us and talk about Braman, the seventh player from the Houston Texans, who is now a member of the Philadelphia Eagles. But we also want to spend some time talking to you, who you've been all over Twitter and the internet and the message boards, and we want to get your reaction here. As all these players have changed teams and the names have changed, and we take your phone calls at 215-339-6709. So settle in, enjoy, and take a deep breath as free agency comes to a piece of conversation right now. We start out in Arizona. Let's go to PJ in Tucson. Hey, PJ.
Hey, Dave. How you doing, man?
I'm doing fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I got to say, I'm pretty happy with what's happened so far with the Eagles. Everyone wanted them to get a safety. We got a safety. You know, we didn't get Bird. We didn't get Bird or Ward. But, you know, I think that was kind of unrealistic almost to begin with, especially seeing what they were paid.
Well, but here's my read on everything. And we haven't heard from Chip. We haven't heard from Howie. Knowing the history of everything here, PJ, I mean, the Eagles, when they see a player who is a, quote, difference maker, they will pay difference maker money. And they clearly didn't feel that way with Jarius Bird. They didn't feel that way with T.J. Ward. Instead, they get Jenkins, who was a first-round draft pick, as a cornerback. In today's NFL, you've got to be able to cover. He's not a thumper. He's a cover player. They feel he fits the scheme really well. And like you said, this team needed a safety, and they're not done at safety. There's only four of them on the roster right now. So there will be moves made.
I agree. I think fans should start looking forward to the draft. I think it's going to be another good one. Three solid drafts in a row would be pretty awesome.
Well, agree. I think, PJ, I'll get back to you. I think everybody's got to understand this in this emotional time. You build through the draft. You build championship teams through the draft. That is the backbone of your roster.
I hope everyone understands that it was really important that we fixed up the special teams. You know, I think those were great signings, especially the one from Seattle. Margos, is that his last name?
Margos.
Man, I mean, I watched that highlight clip, and he is something else, man.
Margos and Braman, and I'll tell you, I Connor Barwin played with Braman. Thanks for the call, PJ. Braman's a big 6'5", 240-pounder. Margos was a leader for Seattle, a team that last year nearly set a record for fewest punt return yards allowed. Physical, stronger. The way I answered it, a bigger, stronger, faster Colt Anderson. And doing my research on him, this is a player that the Eagles targeted very early and obviously went out and got him and are paying big-time attention to all three phases of the game. So will he make a difference at safety? He'll get a chance. I think between the rest of free agency and the draft, look, the Eagles are going to bring in more safeties. They understand what they need. They want this defense to be special. They know that the middle of the defense last year was not enough. And I think Bill Davis did a tremendous job in the scheme with some physical limitations in the back of the defense. So more to come. We are not even 2 days through free agency. There's still a lot of really good football players on the streets. The prices come down every hour that passes. And yeah, the Eagles didn't go out and get Jarius Byrd. They didn't get TJ Ward, and they didn't spend the 72-point headline dollars. That doesn't mean they didn't get themselves three really good football players to help this defense. 215-339-6709. James in Maryland joins us. Hey, James.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
I'm doing okay, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's been good. A while since I got to call in.
Yes, good to hear from you.
Yeah, I'm happy to talk to you.
Thanks.
Even happier with what the Eagles have done. I like what you were just saying. I wasn't really sure about I knew they were going to try to get Jarius Byrd, but I'll tell you, I was really surprised, pleasantly surprised when they got Malcolm Jenkins. I really, having watched him with the Saints and stuff, I think that's a better fit for us.
Well, I got to be honest with you, and I've answered a million Twitter questions the last couple of days, and even leading up to that, I don't profess to be an expert on personnel. I don't watch film. I can't legitimately tell you that I've seen Malcolm Jenkins and this is the kind of player he is, and then walk into this building and then, you know, run into Howie and his staff and have any legitimacy at all. But what I can tell you is that from what I understand from the people here, they feel that his cover skills, his range, fit very nicely into what they're doing. Is he a perfect player? No. Is he a future Hall of Fame player? You know, he's going to have to be a great player for the next 10 years for that to happen. Are there perfect safeties in the NFL right now? You know, there might be one or two really, really good ones. The rest, you kind of cover up in the scheme. So, they looked into Jarius Byrd. Yes, Jarius Byrd's a good football player, and he also got $9 million a year. The Eagles looked into T.J. Ward, who's seen as more of an in-the-box player. That's not what they want. So they get Malcolm Jenkins. He's been around the football. And, you know, we'll see what Bill Davis does with him in the scheme.
Yeah, I really like the fact that he's around the ball and that he's got the ability to, you know, he catches the ball well with interceptions. He's able to make – he has sacks to his credit where he's able to blitz the quarterback as well, and he can play down in the slot when they need to. And he just seems to be able to do a little bit more. And I like the fact that they didn't spend, you know, $9 million on Jarius Byrd. They were able to – Chip Kelly's got a, you know, an idea, and I'm glad he's following through with it. You know, build through the draft and, you know, take your time. Don't just spend money out there just because he's a name, you know.
Yeah.
They like what Jenkins can do, and I after this year, you know, I'm fine with whatever Chip Kelly decides, to be honest with you. Malcolm Jenkins is the one he wants.
I thanks for the call, James. I will tell you, I mean, I think Eagles fans would be united in this. Chip Kelly has earned our trust. So let's see what the plan is. Let's see how it unfolds. Let's judge the roster not in March. I don't see any games on the schedule here the rest of the month. Let's see how it develops through the rest of free agency, draft, trades, waiver wire. Let's see what it looks like when September rolls around. Because the Eagles, look, they've got a young roster. There's going to be players in the near future that they're going to want to lock up, build a core, keep it together for years. That's what's exciting to me, using free agency as a chance to plug some holes, to fill some needs. And they're still going to get some good football players. I don't believe they're done in free agency yet. We'll see just where they go in the coming days. Herb in Philadelphia joins us on Eagles Live on this Wednesday evening. Herbie, how are you, pal?
Good day, good day.
How you doing?
All right. I think we got a nice, solid, versatile player.
I think that...
I think that's how you would describe him.
I think that's what the Eagles agree with you on that, Herb.
And that's, you know, look, and I know, thinking like with a GM hat, we got players we got to pay for next year and things like that. Not that you do all that this year, but, you know, you have to plan. And I would much rather spend an over... And if I did overpay for our own guys. But I think we got a nice player. I think he can do everything we want him to do. He can cover. He can play tight ends. He can cover a guy in the slot or outside if he has to. You know, he can do whatever you need him to do.
We're going to see, Herb, and thanks for the call. And look, again, we know the defense needs to get worked on. We know there needs to be some impact here. It's early. I'm with you. I would love to see a big-time pass rusher come into town. How that happens, if that happens, I don't know. I said it all year last year. That's kind of the one thing that really separates this defense from going up to another level. And so the Eagles know they know the weaknesses here. Again, offense was addressed previous to the draft. Jeremy Maclin, who was not here on the field last year, he's back. Riley Cooper, he's back. Kelce Peters, extended. And Donnie Jones returns for 3 years. And when we return to Eagles Live here, prior to the Malcolm Jenkins press conference, had a chance to sit down with Donnie Jones in the studio. He is thrilled to be a Philadelphia Eagle. Stay tuned for that and much more. Eagles Live returns in just a moment.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding Scepter was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans.
Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
Well, the very first thing the Philadelphia Eagles did when the free agency period opened on Tuesday, they got their punter back. Donnie Jones, a three-year deal. He joins us in studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Congratulations.
Thank you, man.
Everybody's glad to have you back.
It's very good to be back.
What is it like to go through this whole thing?
I'm glad it's over, to be honest. I mean, for the last couple years, really, in free agency, it's been one-year deals. It's been come in, prove yourself, earn a job. And, you know, it's nice to be able to, you know, come in today, sign this, and, you know, really be able to enjoy the rest of my offseason knowing that, hey, you know, this team is committed to me. And, you know, I look forward to three more years here, and I'm really excited to be back.
Why did you want to come back?
You know, everything. And it's, you know, the organization, first off, is the best I played for, you know, from the top down, from Mr. Lurie. He just does a phenomenal job of, you know, giving, you know, everybody what they need in order to be successful. The staff's great. You know, my position coach in particular, Dave Phipp, love him, the best guy I've been with in 10 years of playing. The locker room, the guys are great. There's just so many, you know, great things here that, you know, who wouldn't want to come back and be a part of what's, you know, being built here? Because it was a great start last year, and obviously, you know, I think within the second year, or now we're in the second year, guys are accustomed to the system and really be ready to go and have a great year.
You talk about Dave Phipp. Did he make you a better performer last year? Were you a better kicker last year, do you think, than you've been you've had a tremendous career in the NFL?
Yeah, I think, you know, certain situations obviously we were faced with, and in particular the Washington game and then the Dallas game, you know, I've never had those type of situations in my career. Those were, you know, really, you know, kind of pressure filled situations. And you know, Coach Phipp, I think the great thing about him is, you know, he's just be yourself. That's what he tells you. Just go out and be yourself. You know, you've played a long time. You know what you need to do. Just go out and do it. And he's very supportive. And, you know, we as players, especially, try to help him out as well. So it's just a really good working relationship.
Yeah. I always find it interesting, Donnie. You know, you've kicked in, and I may miss a city here, but Miami and St. Louis and Seattle and Houston and domes or relatively warm weather. And then you come to Philadelphia last year, and, you know, some people say, well, let's see if Donnie Jones can kick in clement weather, and you certainly did that. Now, Lincoln Financial Field is naturally a swirling wind. It's not the easiest place in which to kick. Did you prove something to yourself, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think, obviously, all things happen for a reason, and I think there was a reason that I ended up here in Philadelphia. You know, six seasons before, I played indoors. So it's kind of, you want to prove all the people wrong that say, hey, you can't do it. And also, there's a part of yourself that, you know, whenever you hear things over and over again, sometimes maybe start believing them. So, you know, for me to go out and, you know, work hard, and then when it came time to perform, just go out and be myself and perform. You know, I felt really good about the way I played. You know, I'm obviously very excited to be back and be a part of this thing for three more years.
And the since you've signed, of course, the Eagles have made a couple of additions with some players who I don't know if there's a rep around the league. I'm a, who's a really good special teams player, Chris from Seattle, and Brian from Houston, who you know, Brian Brayman, joined in. And both of them are big-time, hopefully core members of kick coverage, and there is certainly an emphasis on the third phase of this game with Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, I think that's one thing Coach Kelly really stresses and understands the importance of special teams, and I think with these two signings, I think you see that. You know, I can speak, you know, for Brayman because I played with him for a year. I mean, he is a tremendous athlete, a tremendous special teams guy, and, you know, really kind of describe him as a guy that just goes out and sacrifices his body every time. And, you know, he makes plays, and I am very excited that, you know, he's going to be a part of this team.
What was the feeling like, Donnie, toward the end of last year, 7 wins, final 8 games of the regular season, reaching the playoffs, winning the NFC East? Take us inside the locker room. How jazzed is everybody about what's happening here with the Philadelphia Eagles?
It was – obviously it didn't end the way everybody wanted it to end, but I think it was definitely a step in the right direction. You know, that was one thing when I spoke with Coach Kelly on the phone yesterday was, you know, so many people questioned whether or not, you know, he was going to be successful. Or people spoke out, oh, he's his offense, he can't do this, he can't do that. And I think in year one he's already proved – all those people wrong. And, you know, he's a wonderful guy and a great coach. And I just think the steps we made last year carrying over into this year, now more guys are familiar with his system, the program, everything that goes on here. And I just think it's going to be a very attractive spot for guys to want to come and play. And, you know, it's, you know, for me, it's not all about the money. There's a lot more that goes into it. And, you know, the people here, the organization, are just really, you know, important things that, you know, obviously make you want to come and play in a place.
Yeah, and stay in a place. You know, Jason Peters and Kelsey and Macklin and Cooper, you're back as well. It's great to have you back, and you get to enjoy the rest of the offseason.
Finally.
And watch the rest of free agency.
Yeah, it's very nice.
And no one-year contracts.
The last couple of years, it's been a couple of weeks in, and you get the call, and it's a one-year deal, and it's – heck, even last year here, it was, you know, I signed and then it was basically an open competition. You know, come in and prove yourself. So, it really feels good knowing this year, you know, I don't have to do that. So, well, I'm excited, looking forward to it.
Hey, man. Great seeing you. Donnie
Jones.
Thanks
for having me.
Welcome back. Well, welcome back because we never thought you'd leave. We had to have you back. We thank you for joining us in studio today here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power, it's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
-215-339-6709, the telephone number. We want to hear from you as we wait to hear from Malcolm Jenkins. What do you think about these first 2 days of the 2014 free agency period for your Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles have added three players, retained one, and more to come, I'm sure, in free agency and the draft. Got a long way to go before this roster is complete. Let's go out to California and talk to Dan, who joins us here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Dave. How's it going?
It's going okay. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good. What's on your mind?
I like these signings so far. I was really hoping since the season ended that we could go out and get Malcolm Jenkins. I really like what I've seen from him.
Tell me what you've seen from him, because I really, you know, I know what I've heard about him. I know what I've seen on film about him when we've shown our All-22. He seems to be a really athletic player who likes to be around the football.
He is. He's very athletic. He's very fast. I'm not saying he's going to be like Brian Dawkins, but he's a big improvement over what we've had the last couple of years at safety.
You know, Dan, it's interesting. You mentioned Brian Dawkins, and I think Brian Dawkins is an all-time Eagle. I think we all know that, right? But in today's NFL, where would Brian Dawkins be? I just remember so many plays behind the line of scrimmage for Dawk, and I remember all the big hits, and I wonder if, A, he'd be allowed to make all those big hits in today's league, and the way defenses are spread out and the way that you've got to cover in one-on-one situations, you know, Brian really bulked up a lot in his career, became that physical safety. I know we all want to see the next Brian Dawkins here in Philadelphia. I don't know if that type of safety is what the NFL is all about now. So clearly you agree. I've rendered him into silence. 215-339-6709. In search of the next Brian Dawkins. I think that's what every Eagles fan would love to have. Eagles making some improvements here defensively and certainly for the special teams. They bring in Malcolm Jenkins. And Malcolm, who we'll hear from him just a little bit, I just met his wife and their three-month-old baby, is a number one class young fella. First-round draft pick in 2009, 14th overall by the Saints. Won a Super Bowl that year, has a Malcolm Jenkins Foundation. The Ohio State Alumni Association naming him the Jesse Owens Influential Athlete of 2011, 2012, 2013, John Wooten Professional Leadership Award. He's been a good guy with the media in New Orleans, the Jim Finks Good Guy Award. He's a communications degree from Ohio State. I mean, this kid is a bright, articulate, and very personable, great in the community. Howie Roseman's always talked about the culture here and representing the name on the front of the jersey with the name on the back of the jersey, and Malcolm Jenkins will certainly do that. 215-339-6709. Alexander in Virginia joins us. Hey, Alexander. Hello, Alexander. Alexander once. Alexander twice. Give us a call back. 215-339-6709. The telephone number here. Dave Spadaro with you on this Wednesday night. Malcolm Jenkins meets the media. We're also going to hear from John McClain from the Houston Chronicle, who talks about Brian Braman. A big, rangy linebacker. I've heard the comparison, a younger Connor Barwin. And I know they have a close relationship. We're going to talk to Connor about their relationship a little later in the week. Connor's actually in Haiti right now doing some community work, and he's been getting he's all over the place in the offseason. Talk about somebody who really represents the Eagles so well. Jay in Maryland joins us. Hi, Jay. We've got a problem here. We have technical difficulties, and hello. I don't know why.
You can hear me?
Hello? Hello? Jay?
Hello? You can hear me?
Yeah, I hear you, buddy.
Hey, I'm super excited about Jenkins. Super excited. Why? Because he's long, he's big, probably beats up little people, as the motto is, but I'm excited.
Yeah, I don't think I will tell you that he's not a known to be anyway. He's not a bruiser.
Right.
He's not Michael Lewis, who Michael Lewis wouldn't make it in the NFL today. Michael Lewis was an in-the-box safety.
He wouldn't have any more money. Yeah.
I mean, you've got to cover the way these offenses spread you out.
Right. I think also the experience he has of winning a championship with the Saints could really help Earl Wolf and and some of our youngsters come along.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that name. Earl Wolfe, a second-year player now. What do you – I mean, he needs to step – he needs to have a big offseason. He needs to come back bigger, faster, stronger, healthy, and hungry, because there are starting positions open at the safety positions.
Right, and for me, there's no other way than Jenkins be able to teach him and help him go through what he's been through Jenkins' career so far. So I think it's a great fit. It's awesome what Howie and all of them are doing. It's just super exciting to see, even with the draft that's coming up. I know they already have everything planned out as it'll go on, but I'm just excited to be a fan.
Good. Hey, thanks, Jay. Thanks for the call.
All right, Dave.
Hey, thanks, man. I think everybody's excited. I think everybody at this time of year, you know, we've done free agency shows for forever. And you know, it used to be the Washington Redskins were running out and signing Antoine Randle Ellen and everyone, and Eagles fans were going crazy. This year, Eagles strike early with Jenkins. They add two players today who help with some depth on defense and certainly hopefully help make this special teams coverage unit the very best in the National Football League. We'll hear from Malcolm Jenkins in just a couple of minutes. First, let's go to Raphael in California, who joins us here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Raphael, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
Good, man. Welcome.
All right. I just wanted to say that I'm an Eagles fan, a Sixers fan, and out here in California, I'm an Angels fan. But, you know, out of those three organizations, I trust the Eagles very much. And I think Howie Roseman and Chip Kelly are doing a good job out there, and I have nothing to worry about. They picked up a good safety. Even though we didn't get the big free agent, I think they did good as far as getting not a big money spender, but he's decent and good guy in the locker room, it seems like. So I'm looking forward to seeing more of him out there. And the draft, I'm excited what we've done the last few years. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Raphael. I think that the draft is going to be, as it always is, wild, unpredictable, completely fun, and ultimately very satisfying. And you'll see the picture come together. All of these interlocking, all these pieces that seem so incomplete now, they tend to interlock after the draft. You see, okay, I understand why the Eagles didn't do that. They've got all these players available in the draft. I get why the Eagles made that move. There's not a lot of this in the draft. And so this is why the Eagles and every team in the NFL the last couple of months they've spent preparing not only for free agency, but for the draft. In Virginia, we go to David, who joins us this Wednesday evening here in South Philadelphia. Hi, David.
How you doing, man?
All right. How are you?
I'm upset.
Go ahead.
You go out and get a guy that was ranked almost as bad as the two safeties you had at first.
Ranked by whom?
In football, period. He was ranked just as bad as the safeties we had at first.
Well, I think you're basing your rankings on, you know, the metrics provided by media services. And the Eagles are spending every minute of the day, the waking day, studying safeties and projecting who fits into their system. And clearly, Malcolm Jenkins was rated much more highly than many of those other safeties who were ranked higher in the media services. So I certainly would put my belief more in an NFL team's scouting services than in the metrics of media. So I get that's the only access that you have as a fan. You're looking at Malcolm Jenkins and saying, okay, I hear that he misses tackles. I hear that he does this. I hear the Eagles obviously they've taken into consideration all of that, and yet he was a first-day target for them.
You're right. But, Dave, don't you think we missing that on defense, we missing that guy? That one guy that gets us, you know, and I think it's a safety.
Well, I don't disagree with that. I think it's really important to know, and maybe, David, you disagree, I don't see a superstar safety out there.
You didn't think Bird or Ward was a superstar safety?
I mean, I guess my definition of a superstar safety is one that you don't let go in free agency.
That is a great point, Dave.
But again, and remember this, and this is not an accurate statement, but it is free agency is one team's quote-unquote discard is another team's treasure.
Absolutely. One more question, and I'm going to let you go. What do you think about the Regis rumor?
I'd be very surprised if the Eagles made any sort of significant move for Darrelle Revis. From everything that I see, he's gonna sign with the New England Patriots.
I don't want him. I really don't. As good as a player he is, with the contract that's gonna have to come with him, I would rather they not.
But again,
I like Kerry Williams and Fletcher, and well, I love Brandon Morgan.
I would never. And thanks for the call, David. I would never turn down an outstanding player. And if the Eagles were to think any player is outstanding and they want to pay them that kind of money, then let's do it. But I think in this instance, you know, we'll wait and see. Again, I think we've all learned these lessons. For years and years, we'll take another call, 215-339-6709. For years and years, the Eagles laid back in free agency and we all went, oh, what are you doing? And then the Eagles were in the NFC Championship game every year and pretty good teams. 2011, Eagles went all in and the team just fell apart from a chemistry standpoint. So let's keep our eyes on the Denver Broncos defense. They've gone out T.J. Ward. They've gone out with Aqib Talib, and they've gone out with DeMarcus Ware. Okay, let's see how they all come together on the football field. Two different styles. They are going for it in 1 year. The Eagles are trying to build something for the long haul. If they have an opportunity to add a blue chip player, they will do so. It's what they determine, not what Pro Football Focus or ESPN determines. And then that's what those personnel guys are evaluated on, the decisions that they make. If they work, they've done a good job. If they don't work, they're held accountable. Chris in Buffalo joins us on Eagles Live. Hey, Chris.
How you doing?
All right.
Oh, I know everybody's talking about safety and corners, but in the playoff game on our D-line, we got beat quite a bit at the run game. And wouldn't you think the Eagles would want to go after, like, a big lineman and a good nose tackle?
Now, who do you got in mind?
I mean, I know there ain't many out there, but maybe the draft address it or
– Yeah, I mean, look, I think that a premier interior defensive lineman – no matter how good you think you are on the defensive line, you never, ever, ever pass one of those players up. They are so valuable.
We got some good speed guys on the line. Don't get me wrong. Cox is awesome. I think Thornton had an excellent season. And, I mean, our linebacker core is actually pretty decent, too. And, like, Bradley Fletcher, couldn't we use an upgrade there? Because, I mean, Kerry Williams is physical. Boykin's a good slot corner for the nickel. But use another upgrade on the left side or right side?
Yeah, I so you like the front seven, but you would add more if you have the chance.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the Eagles are with you on that. I mean, I'll be honest with you, Chris. I've never known a team to pass on what they consider to be a terrific, you know, defensive lineman. Never.
I mean, yeah, on our corners, I mean, cornerbacks, we were good. I mean, our pass defense wasn't the greatest, but they came along towards the end of the year. But I still think we need an upgrade on corner.
Well, if you have an opportunity to upgrade a corner, I'm with you on that. I think the draft has a lot of cornerbacks. Everything I've read is that cornerbacks are loaded, and there's a ton of them in the draft. So, you know, maybe the Eagles go in that direction as well. They know the defense needs to get better. They know the offense needs to get better. And they know special teams needs to get better. They've gone out and they've really addressed special teams. Have they addressed the return game yet? No, but wouldn't surprise me if they do at some point.
Oh, love the Jenkins thing, though.
We will find out when the pads go on and the games start. Malcolm Jenkins, how do the coaches bring him along? How does he fit into the scheme? Looking forward to it, but we've got a long way to go before we get there. Thank you so much for the phone call. We take a little break. When we return, we're going to go to Houston and talk a little bit about, well, the Eagles signing a player by the name of Brian Braman. No relation to Mr. Norman Braman. John McClain from the Houston Chronicle joins us, and then Malcolm Jenkins will meet the media as well. We're continuing here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. I'm Dave Spadaro. It's Eagles Live. Thanks for joining us. Got a lot more to get to. Hang with us.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans.
Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
Well, the Eagles on Wednesday dipping into the very deep former talent well of the Houston Texans and bringing on board linebacker Brian Braman. And we bring in one of our good friends, John McClain from the Houston Chronicle, to talk about Braman. And John, what can you tell us about a big physical kid who the Texans chose not to tender?
They did not tender Brian, and they didn't tender Terrell McClain, a defensive tackle. Brian has signed with the Eagles, and McClain just signed with the Cowboys. And Brian Braman is a great story. He was working as a bouncer in College Station, Texas, about an hour and 15 minutes from Houston. The College Station is the home of the Texas A&M Aggies. And a Texans assistant linebackers coach, Bobby King, recommended to new defensive coordinator Wade Phillips in 2011, you got to give this guy a tryout, because Bobby had watched Brian in college, and so they gave him a tryout. He made the team, the only straight free agent they kept that year. He became a special team star. One famous play here about Brian, his helmet came off, and he continued to make a tackle in the game. I kind of think it was the Browns. I'm not sure. But he made this tackle, got all bloody, and the fans fell in love with it. Brian's a tall guy. He's really good quote. Great kid. He's a good backup outside linebacker, but his main calling's on special teams, and he's got the James Casey attitude of works hard all the time, shows up early, leaves late. Eagles are going to really like him. He will be a fan favorite there. A blue collar, hard worker. If his helmet comes off, it won't matter to him. And I think that was a really good move for the Eagles.
Well, certainly you want toughness. You want a little bit of crazy in kick coverage. And his road to the NFL, John, really an interesting one. Bounced around at some colleges, didn't get drafted, has been a former model. I mean, he's come up the hard way. It seems to be one of those guys who really appreciates being in the NFL.
And the way, if he keeps playing the way he has, I was surprised they let him go, because they need, I realize a new regime and new coach, Bill O'Brien's making a lot of changes here. You'd be crazy to think he wouldn't change a lot on a 2-14 team. But Brian Braman's not the reason they went 2-14. They could have made him a qualifying offer and kept him around to be the star of their special teams. But their loss is the Eagles' gain. And I think, and I know, once fans get a look at Brian and the way he plays, they're going to fall in love with the guy.
John, does Brian have, in your opinion, a chance to be somebody who could help this defense? Eagles in the 3-4 defense, always looking for more pass, rush, punch.
He's played in 3-4 now since he got here with Wade Phillips. They used him as a backup. Brian was best as a pass rusher in preseason. He'd look up and he'd have two or three sacks in preseason, but he was never able to get playing time other than the rotation, because their outside linebackers were first and second round picks. And when he got here, they had Mario Williams trying to play outside linebacker before he signed with Buffalo. But I'm not sure what the Eagles' situation is. But if they don't have high picks that are entrenched, you know, why not? He's done well in preseason, but he was never given the same opportunities in regular season because he had number one and number two picks in front of him.
John, this is the seven former Texans who've become members of the Eagles. This organization really has a very high value on what's going on in Houston. What do you make of this pipeline from Houston to Philadelphia?
Well, the Eagles did a whole lot better than the Texans last season. And before, maybe they lost too many players to the Eagles. Texans have been real good, and then they crashed and burned last year, 2-14, and they think they're going to make a big improvement. I just talked to Eric Winston, the former Texans right offensive tackle, whose contract expired with Arizona, and I said, hey, have your agent call the Eagles. They like ex-Texans. Remind them you played in Houston. Don't mention Arizona.
Hey, John, we really appreciate your time. I know it's a busy time for you. Thank you so much for your insight on new Eagles linebacker and special teams ace, Brian Braman. Thanks, John.
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power, it's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
Well, we take a look into the room where the press conference will be held. That is the PR studio, and you can see the back of, well, let's go a little play-by-play here. Les Bowen's head is in the blue. Jeff McClain is chatting to his right. I think that's former PhiladelphiaEagles.com intern Zach Berman, now with the Philadelphia Inquirer, who is in the white, has the white collar on, got that middle seat. We always told him, make sure you get aligned properly for press conferences, and he's done that. Now, far left, is that Bob Grotz? Bob Grotz from the Delaware County Daily Times. And then out in the hallway, there is a Philadelphia Inquirer, I believe, photographer. So this is what happens. 215-339-6709. We've shown you behind the scenes like you'll never see before. I'm Dave Spadaro. We're waiting to hear from Malcolm Jenkins. We'd like to hear from you as well. On our phones, 215-339-6709. Day two of 2014 NFL free agency is not in the books because it's really never in the books. Now, there are no scheduled, at least public, visits for the Eagles in free agency. There are, though, I'm sure, many, many, many fluid conversations behind the scenes that we are not privy to know about. Sometimes those negotiations get wrapped up very quickly and the news breaks that night. Sometimes it is delayed until the two sides come to a meeting. So we're on top of it for you. Chris in New York joins us here on Eagles Live. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I just wanted to comment on the offseason so far.
Okay.
I think it's really been an amazing offseason so far. You know, I think everyone gets focused on free agency as it is just the last couple of days. But we can't forget they extended Peters, they extended Kalise, they signed Thornton, they signed Cooper, they signed Macklin, they signed Donnie Jones. Now they got Jenkins and a couple of ace special teams players. So I would think the Eagles probably have had the best offseason in the NFL so far. You know,
well, I think they've had the best offseason that they've put out there in the blueprint. I mean, they laid out the blueprint in the days after the loss to the New Orleans Saints in the wild card playoff round, and the first steps were to retain as many players as they could that they wanted to before they went into free agency. So getting Jeremy Macklin's deal done was huge. Again, this team set a franchise record last year for points scored. Second in the NFL in points scored. Led the league in big plays, 20-plus yards, explosive plays. Then you get Macklin back. That's a first-round pick coming back to the offense. And you keep Cooper, Riley Cooper, who I think would have had a very nice market in free agency. You set up your offensive line through 2016 with Jason Peters' extension, with Jason Kelsey's extension, and then you get to free agency and you delve into the defense and the special teams. And, you know, that's where the Eagles sit right now. But we are so far away, Chris, from having a 90-man roster and then kind of figuring out who stays and who goes. There's going to be so many moves between now and the end of the draft. So
yeah, I agree with you, Dave. I love the direction, retaining the in-house guys and staying away from the splash and free agency. We've learned that, how that works in the past. And, in the back of my mind, like a lot of other Eagle fans, you know, I'd love to get a guy like Revis. But you have to think about it. If Tampa Bay just signed him the previous offseason and they thought they made the big splash signing Revis, they got Revis Island. They even traded a first-round pick for him to the Jets. And just a year later, they're completely ready, and they got rid of him.
Yeah, well,
it shows you.
I agree. The Revis deal is a remarkable one. Thanks for the call. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers giving up a first-round draft pick last year, a fourth-round draft pick this year, and then 1 year later, he's gone? So it's a 50-50 hit or miss, and it's just like the draft. It's just so hard to take kids from college, project them into the man's world of the NFL, and it's difficult to take players who thrive in one system and project them into this system. I feel like, you know, the Eagles are right where they want to be, and we'll keep right on top and see what they do the rest of the way here. Busa in Virginia Beach joins us. Hey, Busa.
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Good.
Been following what Eagles have been doing. And if you remember, Dave, it was, I guess, two or three seasons ago, we went in free agency and brought all these players on defense. You know, we made so much noise, but that was like, you know, a bad year. And, of course, you know, the coaches left and the new
yep.
staff has come in. I honestly believe maybe we should just get two more playmakers and just keep building what we got, you know, and just, you know, I think we're set on offense.
I'm with you. I still want to add to the offense, Busa. I'll take all the playmakers you can give me. It's just, I keep hearing this. Give me playmakers, playmakers, playmakers. But where are they? You know, where are they in free agency? You draft them, you develop them. And if you manage everything correctly on the financial end, you retain them and build your core that way. And that's what Howie has said over and over and over again, doing it the right way. That's what they want to do.
I agree with you. If you look at it like Seahawks, that whole defense is drafted pretty much. I don't think so they got anybody from free agency, you know, pretty much. But I looked at the schedule this year.
Mm-hmm.
We're playing Seahawks, that division. And
yep.
that means, you know, I mean, we're going to have a very tough division. We just got to build for that, I guess, you know.
Hey, I agree. I'm with that. And thanks for the call. That's why I want more offense, because the Eagles are playing against the Niners defense and the Cardinals defense and the Seahawks defense and the Rams defense. And all four of those defenses are outstanding. We'll hear from Malcolm Jenkins in a moment. We'll try to squeeze in Merrill Reese first. We take a break. It's Eagles Live. I'm Dave Spadaro. And a reminder that when we have a press conference, we expect one tomorrow, we'll be live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. You can also watch us on the app. Make sure you're with us every step of the way in this offseason. We'll be back in just a moment.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans. Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
Well, a busy first couple of days in free agency for your Philadelphia Eagles. I'm Dave Spadaro, joined by the voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, Merrill Reese.
Howdy.
In studio here. Fun time of the year, isn't it?
It is. It is, because we are talking football again. We're talking about improving a team that was 10-6 last year, the NFC East champions. So I think the future is bright, and to be able to analyze these different moves and look ahead is a lot of fun for me.
I think we both spoke about this throughout the season and certainly after the season, Merrill. Defense is something that we felt the Eagles would address really throughout the offseason. Mm-hmm. Here. They've done so here with Malcolm Jenkins at the safety position, Chris Maragos at the safety position, also on special teams, and then Brian Braman, who's a special teamer but also will be given a look as an outside linebacker.
Yeah, big guy. So, as you know, the chip theory of big guys beat little guys. So he's adding some bulk and some muscle to the special teams.
Malcolm Jenkins first, Merrill. What do you know about him? What have you read about him? What have you heard about him?
Well, the word that comes to everybody's mind is versatility. And that's what Chip likes, to have somebody who can play safety, who can play corner, who can play the different positions in different ways. And that's what he seems to be. A very, very talented player who Chip scouted, looked at a great deal when he was preparing for the Saints game, and was very impressed. You know, we hear these names. We hear about Jarius Byrd. We hear about T.J. Ward. Dave, how much do we really know about these people? How much does any member of the media, any talk show host, really know?
Well, I agree.
I mean, I've watched Buffalo. I've watched Cleveland. I've watched the Saints. But for some reason, they never seem to isolate on the safety.
Right. And I think it's interesting to talk about the role of the safety in today's game, Merrill, versus years past. You have to be able to cover.
Yes.
It is not about coming up and delivering the big hit. The way the offense has spread the field, I like the fact that Jenkins was drafted in the first round in 2009 as a cornerback and now plays a safety position.
You know, it's interesting to hear you say that, because to all of us, the mark of the great Eagle safety is Brian Dawkins.
Mm-hmm.
The best who maybe ever played here. And then maybe in the league, along with Brian Dawkins, you're talking about somebody like Ed Reed, who had his best days in Baltimore. And you think about some of those great hits that they made, some of those tremendously physical blows that they delivered. So many of them today would draw flags.
Yeah.
You have to play the position differently. And I'm not saying that Reed or Dawkins couldn't cover, but that would be the biggest emphasis, not the physicality that they exhibited.
So the Eagles go out and they get Jenkins on day one, a quick move, a very decisive move. And then these first 2 days have been marked by an emphasis on special teams. Donnie Jones comes back to the fold, a three-year deal. I think we all are thrilled to see Donnie Jones back here as the team's punter.
Great punter.
And then potentially two players to really add to the core on kick coverage, punts and kickoffs. Maryland. We all know how important that third phase of the game is.
Well, they do. And it's not about big names, because you know what Washington has done with all those big names over the years. In fact, I always tell people, I go back 3 years, and it was a summer night, a Friday night. My wife and I were playing in a couples golf tournament, and I heard the buzz go off on my cell phone. And I picked it up, and it was our son who was home on vacation and had been at a sports bar with his friends. And he said, "Dad, the Eagles signed Nnamdi Asamoah." And in all my great wisdom, I said, "Nolan, they just punched their ticket to the Super Bowl." Because there was the guy who everybody was convinced, along with Darrell Revis, was the best of the best of the cover corners in the National Football League. And we all know how that worked out.
Yeah, it is as difficult as it is to have a college young man projected into the grown-up world of the NFL, statistically, factually, equally as difficult projecting a good player in one system into an entirely new scheme with a new city, with new fan base, with media, different way an organization is run, very, very hard.
I know this. I have a lot of faith in the people making the decisions in the Eagles organization. I think that Howie knows what he's doing. I think that Chip Kelly is somebody who has proven throughout his career that he knows talent. If Chip Kelly, who knows Jarius Byrd from his college days at Oregon, if Chip Kelly had turned to Howie Roseman and said, "This is the guy that will make this defense what it has to be to win a Super Bowl," Howie would have found a way to go out and get him.
Well, we move forward here. Long way to go in free agency. And then, of course, Merrill and I will be here throughout the entire draft process.
I love those days.
May 8th through the 10th, the backbone of every NFL team, mm-hmm. the draft, and we'll be live right here.
And who knows? It could be a big-time safety in that draft.
We shall see. Merrill, thanks for joining us today here in the studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power, it's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
All right, Eagles fans, and welcome back to Eagles Live. No, you don't have to change your channel, change where you're watching. Dave Spadaro had to run for a few minutes. We're still waiting for the Malcolm Jenkins press conference. We have about 15 minutes or so before he will address reporters here at the NovaCare Complex. So in that meantime, we are taking your phone calls at 215-339-6709. Recapping another busy day here for the Philadelphia Eagles, Brian Braman and safety Chris Maragos in the fold. Are we going to go to the phone lines? Do we have our first call? No. So now's perfect time to jump on 215-339-6709. As we're talking about the Eagles and free agency, what do you want to see the team do? I have a few hints and kind of a few clues on what you guys want to do out there from perusing the chat for a little bit there, as well as checking out Twitter all throughout the day. So as we're going to welcome Malcolm Jenkins, the newest Eagle, coming in at safety into the mix here. So as we look at some of the all-22 footage of the former 2009 first-round draft pick, and we're bringing – oh, we get a first call up now. We have John from Florida checking in here on Eagles Live. John, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, yeah. I see you guys got some special team defense help. Are we going to be getting any kind of, some kind of special team running or returning the football?
A return special? That's a good question. That's certainly something that you expect the Eagles to address. Obviously, they picked up Brad Smith late in the season, and he had a couple chances at kickoff returner. He has some experience there. The Eagles still have Brandon Boykin and Bryce Brown. And at punt return, of course, you have DeSean Jackson still in the mix. But certainly that's one of the areas that you know the Eagles would love to improve going into next season. That's one of the areas that they were not very good at on special teams is the return game. And I know that there are rumblings about some of the names that are out there. Of course, there's the report that Darren Sproles of the Saints is going to be released or traded at some point here. At this point, he has not been released, so he's not yet on the open market. Would the Eagles have interest? That remains to be seen, but he obviously has extensive experience. But certainly, that is definitely, I think, one of the areas that the Eagles are going to look to shore up, whether it's through free agency or coming up in the draft here.
Yeah, Darren Sproles would be a great pickup, I think.
Sure. I mean, explosive player, dynamic guy that can run the ball, catch, has that return ability. He's getting a little up there in age. He's 30 years old. He's a little bit of a smaller player, but you've seen how a creative offensive genius like Sean Payton in New Orleans has used him in the last couple of years. I'm sure Chip Kelly, if he could have that type of player in his offense, would be able to do a lot of different things. But at the same time, you're looking in the draft and you're saying, are there one of the guys? I mean, this is a very deep draft class when it comes to wide receiver. Is there a guy, an all-purpose guy, that Chip Kelly can use as that type of weapon instead of going out and investing resources in whether it's free agency money or whether it's a trade? You definitely don't have to give up draft picks to be able to get someone like Sproles. But certainly you want to see the Eagles make that kind of bump in the return game. And obviously the blocking with the players that they acquired today will certainly help the case. But definitely I would not be surprised to see them look to try to tweak or at least add some more competition there, John, to the return game.
Yeah, and I just want to say that I love the Malcolm Jenkins pickup. It was a great move.
Great move. I mean, look, John, thank you very much for the phone call. The Eagles called Malcolm Jenkins, and his agent said very early on he was the number one target for the team. Malcolm Jenkins felt very wanted by the Eagles. Look, New Orleans did not make an offer, did not try to bring him back. They have Kenny Vaccaro. They went and got Jairus Byrd. So obviously they had Byrd on their radar, but the Eagles very early on made it clear to Jenkins that they wanted him to be an Eagle, and they went out and got the deal done. And he's a versatile defensive player, has experience at cornerback, plays safety, can be rangy, can line up in the slot man-to-man. Look, that I think is one of the most underrated aspects of the Jenkins addition is last season you had to see players like Patrick Chung, like Kirk Coleman thrown into the backup nickel spot if something were to happen to Brandon Boykin or Boykin had to slide to the outside. Jenkins has that experience already, so he can come in and fulfill that, and you won't feel like you're asking someone to be out of position. You're not asking someone to do something that they haven't already done. I think from a scheme fit standpoint, with experience and leadership, this is the type of guy you want to bring into the program. And look, it's another guy on the roster that has Super Bowl winning experience. You also add Chris Maragos from the Seahawks, who just won the Super Bowl with them this past season. So you've already added double the amount of players to the roster who have a Super Bowl as compared to the players on last year's roster who had a ring. And the only one was a free agent from a year ago in Kerry Williams. We're going back to the phone lines. We're going to Ohio. We bring on Nathan. Nathan, you probably have a few things to say about Malcolm Jenkins. Guy was a former first-round pick from Ohio State University. What's going on there, Nathan?
Hey, going pretty good, and I do actually have a few things to say about Malcolm. I'm a Philly fan from Ohio, and I'm, of course, a big Ohio State fan. And I have to say I love Malcolm Jenkins. He was a big leader on the Buckeyes team, and then he was, of course, a captain the last few years for the Saints, and I'm really looking forward to him stepping up and being the captain, hopefully maybe at some point for the Eagles, and being a leader.
Yeah, Nathan, you bring up a great point that he was, a captain at Ohio State. He was a captain for the Saints defense the last couple of seasons, so you're bringing someone in with that leadership experience for the defensive backfield. you know, that's a very underrated part. And you need that type of player, especially at the safety position. Yeah, at the when it comes to the safety position, everyone's going to point to Brian Dawkins and the leader that he was. And I'm not saying that Jenkins is bringing anything from the playmaking standpoint, but I'm saying it helps from a leadership standpoint to have your the guy who's at safety, the guy who's going to be the last line of defense, the guy who's going to be calling out the signals for the defensive backfield, that guy has got to be on point. That guy has to be reading and recognizing everything at all times. So that's the type of guy that you want to have orchestrating the back of that defense, especially with the way that struggled at times last season. So I'm very, very happy to see Malcolm Jenkins here with the Eagles.
Yeah, another thing about Malcolm I noticed, and of course, being a Buckeye fan, I notice him when he's even on the Saints and everything, but he's I always noticed number 27 flying around for the Saints. He's always, I mean, he's always playing his heart out, running into people, getting where he needs to be at the, you know, at the fastest speed possible. I love watching Malcolm play, and I'm so excited for this. Really, I am.
No, I'm very excited. I mean, the main thing, Nathan, when I look at this is that the Eagles have gotten better on defense, and I think that's what everyone was clamoring for once the season ended. How will this defense, especially in that backfield, at the corner and safety spots, how will they get better? And this addition of Malcolm Jenkins certainly adds a viable player with starting experience, with captain leadership experience, a player who's won a Super Bowl. You're adding that to your backfield. So, I mean, all in all, it's a great move, and the Eagles have the flexibility to go out and make more moves if they want to in free agency, or they can wait until the draft. Now, Nathan, from your standpoint, what do you want to see the Eagles do from moving on, whether it's before the draft in free agency or when it comes to the draft itself when the Eagles have that number 22 pick?
Personally, when I've been thinking about the first pick, I mean, it's so tough because, you know, Chip Kelly always states that he picks the best player. Him and Howie, they always talk about picking the best player available. And personally, I want some edge rusher that, you know, can turn into like a super athlete that just, I mean, you can't stop him around the edge. You know what I mean? It always gets to the quarterback. That's what I want in my heart. But, you know, I'm cool with picking the best player possible. And whatever that is, I'm pretty sure it'll probably be a really good pick. So I'm just really excited for the draft, honestly.
Hey, Nathan, hopefully the two will mesh together and maybe an Anthony Barr might be there at number 22. Maybe he lingers into the teens that maybe he would be available for the Eagles. D4 from Auburn, I know that's a guy Mike Mayock said could be a potential fit for the Eagles. You know, so hopefully, you know, maybe everything, the stars will align at number 22. The best player on the board for the Eagles will indeed
be that'd be awesome.
So certainly it's going to be a fun few months ahead. It's interesting now with the draft being moved back to May. It just kind of, you know, makes us yearn that much more for what's going to come
ahead. I know this draft, I feel like it's building up more than past drafts. That's how I feel about it. So,
well, Nathan, thank you very much for the phone call, my man. Nathan checking in from Ohio with some insight there on safety Malcolm Jenkins and what he wants to see the Eagles do in the draft. And speaking of the draft, Beowulf, Fran Duffy, our producer who's behind the Scouts Notebook series, the Frasian Film Room series that you've seen, we are starting a new podcast, Journey to the Draft, presented by AAA. We're actually filming the first episode, and our guest is going to be NFL Film senior producer Greg Cosell. So make sure to look for that in the coming days. We're very, very excited about that project. So everyone, you've tuned in, you've logged on to check out the newest safety, Malcolm Jenkins. He will be addressing the media in hopefully just a few minutes. He was out to dinner with some of the team executives. He had to come back here, sign his contract, put the pen to the paper. Hopefully that is just about all done in the next few minutes. He will be available to talk to me. So we're going to take a quick commercial break on Eagles Live. On the other side, more of your phone calls. If you want to jump on board, 215-339-6709. You are watching Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me, there's honking going on, there's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
Hard work, work.
There you go.
Hard work, work. Everybody doing
that right.
Hard work, work,
work. That's what you say.
Hard work, work, work.
I'm a pain.
Hard work, work.
Hard work, do it every day.
Hard work, work.
Get up, I'm on
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power, it's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans. Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
Welcome back to Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. So the play-by-play, Malcolm Jenkins is in the cafeteria here. He's about a couple feet down the hall. Can we just bring him in here first to let him meet you Eagles fans? But in fact, there's actually a corporate event going on. He's going to go say hi to a few fans there and then make his way to the press conference. So hopefully in just a few minutes, the wait is building and building and building to meet the newest Eagles safety, Malcolm Jenkins. We're going to go to the phone lines here. Phil from Georgia checking in here on Eagles Live. Phil, how's everything going for you on this Wednesday evening?
Dude, it's doing awesome, Chris. I'm just real excited about this season, man, and the draft. I'm really looking forward to the draft too, man.
Phil, I mean, talk about the level of excitement in this offseason compared to the last couple off seasons, because I've been talking to a number of fans and everyone says that this is the most juice they've been for the off season going into free agency. This is as excited as they've been. I had one friend, a friend of mine, Mike, who told me that he hasn't been this excited for the off season for free agency since going back to like 2004 when they acquired Javon Curse and traded for Terrell Owens. I mean, that's the level of excitement that he has. And I feel it's got to be much the same way for most fans coming off the season that the Eagles had, not having big expectations in year one with Chip Kelly, and then going out and winning the division, getting 10 wins, and having a playoff game at home.
Chris, I definitely agree with you, man. I don't remember me covering offseason this way before since probably, 2004, I would say, when we were getting really close, and then we was pushing, you know, getting Owens and all that, and Javon Curse. I'm just excited because I feel like, you know, the city's just hyped up or whatever, and we're really looking to get those good players, you know, really follow that formula of building in the draft. And I actually want to make a comment that, you know, I don't know if we're going to be able, we might have our eye on a couple players in the draft, but I just want to make sure that we get the best possible players, Chris. We want impact players. I'm not really so much concerned as much about the position, but in the first and second round, we just want impact players, guys who are going to make a difference. And then, you know, hopefully we can build from there.
No, hey, I completely agree with you, Phil, 110%. Oh, it's time for Malcolm Jenkins. We welcome the newest Eagle, Malcolm Jenkins, addressing the media right now.
All right.
How did you end up here?
I guess the first thing is, obviously, Mr. Lurie and Mr. Rosen and Chip believed in me, and they sought after me. So I think it's the best opportunity for me to be successful. I see the vision and the direction that Chip has got this team going in, and I'm about winning. So I know the fan base here is a passionate fan base, and I'm a passionate player. So when it came down to, you know, free agency, I thought this would be the perfect fit for me and my family. I'm from right up the road, so it's a good thing for my career as well as my family.
Were there other teams that you had considered playing for? Were other teams in on expressing their interest in that?
There was a few teams. Greg Williams is in St. Louis, and obviously have a connection there. And then Dennis Allen out in Oakland. A few teams, but I think the Eagles is obviously the best fit for me and where my career is going at this point.
At what point did you realize that you weren't going to be back in New Orleans, and what happened?
I think early in the process, there really was no conversations about moving forward with the 2014 season. But I kind of knew I was going to look forward to starting fresh somewhere else.
What is it, you know, the idea that
you know, Bird ended up signing there for a lot of money. Mm-hmm. How does that kind of, I mean, what does that make you think? Are you, is that kind of like an insult or something?
You know, no, I mean, you know, that team, if you see what they've done this offseason, they've obviously made a lot of roster changes, and they have a vision in which they want the team to go. But it doesn't in any way hurt my confidence or put any doubt in my belief. I'm really excited about being here. I think that this is what I needed right now, and you know, I'm about winning. I'm looking forward to just getting a fresh start here in Philly.
So what kind of safety are you?
You know, I had a corner background. I was drafted as a corner, played corner my rookie year. So now I'm one of those guys where I can play deep. I'm a football junkie, so I can be the quarterback of the defense. I can still cover receivers in the slot. I can cover tight ends. I can blitz. And whenever I can do all of those things and have the freedom to move around and not be stagnant, that's when I've had my best years. So I'm not your typical safety. It's kind of that hybrid that the league is kind of moving to now with the bigger tight ends, the faster tight ends. You need guys that can be versatile, go down in the slot, and you're not worried about them on receivers.
Was that kind of like the versatility that you saw in the way the Eagles play defense as far as deciding to cover you and everything?
Right, yeah, and that was one of the big questions. I wanted to know how they were going to use me, and that was pretty much it. You know, they loved the fact that I was versatile, that I can go in the slot, I can cover tight ends, blitz, and that I was smart enough to take on a lot and be the leader in the back end and get guys lined up. Digest the playbook and really quarterback the defense.
How important was that in your conversations with Chip at all about when being the communicator back there and really lining everybody up?
Well, they communicated to me that that's what they wanted me to do, and you know, that's right up my alley. That's what I enjoy to do. I love learning football just as much as I love playing it. So I'm really looking forward to kind of getting the playbook and learning some things.
Did anybody else make an offer, or was it pretty much this was what you wanted?
Well, the Eagles are the first ones who contacted us, and they contacted us very, very early in the process, and that just showed me that they wanted me here, and that desire kind of tipped my hat, and I think I always wanted them. You know, once the process started, I was leaning toward Philly, and just waiting to see if anybody else had anything better out there, but you know, this is the best fit for me.
Of all the top safeties on the market, your deal was among the shortest. Why was it that short compared to, say, a 5-year deal, a 6-year deal?
I mean, you know, that's what made me comfortable, and I'm still young, and you got you know, it's a 3-year deal, so I'll be 28 or 29 when I'm done, and you know, 30 is that magic number, so. You know, hopefully this plays out and I'm playing well, and then it ends up being a long-term thing, but, you know, we'll see.
You come here with something to prove?
No, I think I just come trying to win. You know, I come trying to be the best safety that I can be the best player that I can be, and I really come here expecting to get better and to have success, because I see the way the team is filling out, and I see the coaching staff and their vision for me, and I definitely want to take hold of that and really – excel here.
Before the process started, when you were kind of visualizing the teams that you may be interested in, was this, where were the Eagles on that totem pole?
They were on there. When you talk about teams that actually needed safeties and cities that I would like to live in and enjoy outside of football, Philly was definitely on that list. And like I said, I'm from New Jersey, so I'm familiar with the area. I just had a daughter 3 months ago, so being around grandma and all that stuff, you know, played a part in it. And you want to go to a team that has a good pedigree, that has good leadership, that wants to win. And, you know, this definitely fit that criteria.
Malcolm, when you played against the Eagles last year, what did you see? And I don't know how much you were looking at the Eagles. Obviously, you're trying to win a game in the playoffs. What did you see, if anything, from the Eagles?
Well, I think even before we played them in New Orleans, I think everybody, it was apparent by week 4 or 5 that there was something different about this Eagle team and what Chip Kelly brought to the table. And it caught the attention of a lot of people. So that was my first impression, is that, you know, he knows how to win. He knows what he's going to win with. And they are trying to get players that fit his scheme, not necessarily the best players, but players that will buy into what he's selling. And I've been a part of winning teams before, and that's where it starts. We start with good leadership from top down, from the coaches all the way to the players. And I see him trying to build that, and that's why I want to be a part of it.
There's been a perception that perhaps you've had problems with missed tackles over the last several years. Can you explain to us why that may have been or why that perception is wrong?
I can't really tell you that. I mean, I think I've made a bunch of plays in my career and game-changing plays. And, I think everybody has something to improve on. If you were to ask me what my biggest things I need to improve on, I would say tackling. And I think that's only happened over the last couple of seasons. And I think that has something to do with a little change of scheme and change of positions that I was in. But, I don't see that being a problem going forward.
As a follow-up to that, in 2010, you were second-team All-Pro. Mm-hmm. In the past 2 years, that hasn't been the case. Do you feel you're a better player now than you were in 10? Was it a different scheme? How would you explain that?
Well, in 2010, that was when I was able to be versatile. I was able to play the nickel on third down because we still had Darren Sharper. So he would come in and play the free safety, and I was playing the nickel on third down. First and second down, I was at the free. So I had that versatility to move around. That was one of my more productive years. After that, once Sharper left, I stayed in the post for the next couple years, and my production slowed down. This past year, they let me play the nickel again, and then those numbers came back up. I got all the sacks and, pass breakups and covered and two interceptions. So, like I said, the years where I'm able to move around and use my skill set to its best, those are the years I've had the most production.
So you feel like here you will be used in that role where you'll be able to move around?
I think so. I think we'll see. It really comes down to whatever they need, but I think they realize that that's where I'm best, and I'm sure they'll use me to the best of our ability. But it's all about putting, the best 11 on the field. So wherever that's at for me, that's what I'll do.
What are your thoughts on the sports science program here, and is that something that attracted you to coming to the Eagles?
I don't know much about it. I keep hearing a lot about it, and I know they do a lot of detailed work as far as doing the research of rest and recovery and all the things. And that's good for a veteran player. It's all about longevity. So to have a coach that puts a premium on that is big, because it's not like that everywhere.
You were a two-time defensive captain in New Orleans. How would you describe your leadership abilities, and what kind of leader are you?
I'm kind of a natural born leader. I've been a captain on every team I've ever played on. As a captain at Ohio State, just recently finished my second term as a captain with the Saints. And I've been around tremendous leaders, the Jonathan Vilmas, the Drew Breeses, who've affected me, and I've seen how they've had impact on people. So I try to lead by example first. And I think that's why people gravitate toward me as a leader, because they see the work I put in, they see the extra hours and the detail I put into my work, and I take it very serious. But in the NFL, you're leading men. It's not like you're leading boys. So I just plan on coming in and just doing what I normally do, and if that turns into me standing out as a leader, then that'll play out.
A lot of the fans here are kind of longing for Brian Dawkins as that enforcer in the middle. Right. Do you see yourself as a kind of enforcer in the middle, as a safety and all that?
I think me and Brian Dawkins are a lot different in styles, but I think what the fans want is that playmaking safety, whether it be from a big hits or it be from interceptions or whatever. You just want that safety that can take control of the defense, be a leader, and make plays, and that's what I plan to do.
Kirk Coleman has his own situation to deal with, but did you talk to him at all about this situation here?
Not his situation, but he texted me when he saw a sign, and he just told me a little bit about the city, told me if I needed anything to let him know, but we hadn't talked about his situation.
What was Chip's role in the process of recruiting you here, and what was your take on him?
From what I hear, it was pretty big. I think him and Bill Davis have had me on their radar for a while. And like I said, early in the process, they contacted my agent and let us know that they're very, very interested and they really wanted to get me here. So, Chip sees something that he believed in. They did their research. They know what I can do. So we got it done.
In the past 24 hours, have you spoken to Chip?
Well, yeah, just met him, a couple minutes ago. We just got a chance to meet for the first time. I'll spend some more time with him tomorrow.
Have you played much special teams the last couple of years, and do you think you might play some here?
Yeah, I usually play on punt returns and punt. I usually do at least one or two special team units every year I've been in the league, and I actually enjoy doing it, so I anticipate I probably will.
They have a big emphasis on special teams here, both starting cornerbacks, safeties, played special teams cover units here. Do you think that that's wise? I mean, as a starter, as a guy getting a little older, do you think that might be a detriment to you?
No, I think, you know, special teams plays are just as important as third down, and I think just like any other play, you want to have your best guys on the field. Now, obviously, there are some things that you have to keep in mind when you talk about rest and wearing guys down. But if a guy can handle a load, like I said, I've played special teams my entire career, so I embrace it, and I think it's something that most teams need to move toward, because you don't take plays off in special teams. Those are, you know, game-breaking plays, and you've seen every game there's some special team return or something that breaks the game wide open. So those plays need the best guys out there, because they can really change a game faster than a first and 10.
They practice on Tuesdays here. Did you know much about that going in? And no. Did it give you any pause that you would have to have an extra day of practice?
No, I just heard about that today. But obviously, you know, it's a little weird. But, you know, there's a plan. There's not like he's just saying let's practice on Tuesday just to do it. There's, you know, some thought behind it, and there's a reason for it. And once I was given the reason and why, it made sense. So, you know, that's fine. Obviously, it would be a different schedule for me and what I'm used to, but I'm sure there'll be a lot of things I have to adjust to.
You were drafted the correlation 14th overall in 2009. Do you think you've lived up to that billing?
I mean, it's, you know, if it depends who you're asking. If you're asking me, I think so. And, you know, and one thing about the draft is I didn't make them draft me, you know, at that point. So that's just where I fell. But I think so. I think what I brought to the Saints and what I meant to that team was worth it. And I don't think you can get anybody who is with that organization to say different. You know, so now I'm looking forward to the second contract and really making a splash. I think my goal is always to be the best in the NFL. And if I'm not in that conversation right now, I'm working every day to get there.
You explained the correlation between the scheme change and the missed tackles a little bit more. Like the last couple of years, what were they asking you to do that made it more difficult?
Well, I think for a player like me, like I said, I have a corner background. So those few years where I was asked to just play strictly free safety and play in the post, that's just, those kind of plays, being there all day, kind of makes me uncomfortable. And that's not where I'm best suited. Now, I don't know, I can't blame that and say that's why I missed tackles. That's not what I'm saying. But the years in which I was put in the positions to make plays, I made them. And I'm really looking forward to having that opportunity here, looking forward to coaches that want to put me in those positions and realize that. So I'm excited.
You've had success as a safety, but in some ways, as you look back, do you wish they had allowed you to develop more as a cornerback, maybe?
You know, I mean, I think, like I said, I'm such a team guy. It's really whatever the team needed. My transition to safety happened because Darren Sharper got hurt. He was on PUP that year, and they needed somebody to come fill that role, so I did. And then, you know, as the team moved forward, that was my spot. So I think, and that's one thing, one reason I always talk about versatility is because I still do have those corner skills, and I work on them all the time. So I don't like to put myself in just a box. Oh, I'm a corner of safety. I'm whatever you need me to be. So when corners go down and you have a little depth chart injury, I can be an emergency corner. I can play in the slot. I can play the free or the strong. Whatever the team needs me to do, I'm that guy.
You're going to be playing for like your third different defensive coordinator in 3 years and everything. I mean, do you think there will be like a pretty big adjustment for you? I mean, learning Bill Davis's styles, is it vastly different from what you've had before?
No, I wouldn't say it's vastly different, but one thing I enjoy is learning the game of football. So learning a new defense is not a burden to me. It's an opportunity, and I really enjoy diving in the playbook, dissecting it, because I like for my coaches to put a lot on me as far as making checks and calling the right plays and giving me tools to make the calls myself. And I think when there's that relationship where you can work with a D coordinator where he gives you tools to make the calls yourself, I think that's when not only do your teammates buy in, but the players buy in, because they have more invested in what they're doing. They're actually involved with the calls that they're playing, and they do more work outside of the building to make sure that they're prepared to make those calls. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Despite the contract and the starting opportunity, is there something that really enticed you about coming here?
I really see it as a, well, like I said, I think the team is on an going upward right now. I think it's a lot of high points. They had a good season last year, made the playoffs, and that's all in the first year. And you see the culture starting to change. So that's one thing that was big on me is I didn't want to go to a dysfunctional organization, and there are plenty of them out there. I wanted to go somewhere that was functional from management all the way down to the players, a city that I could enjoy with my family outside of football, and then somewhere where I thought I can excel. And I thought Philly fit all three of those criteria more than any other team that was out there.
You spoke about playing in the slot. How about covering tight ends? How much did you do with that? In norms?
I did a lot of it. Like, you know, I cover tight ends, the slot, whatever, you know, the situation is. So if you got a three receiver formation, most of the time it was the receivers that I was covering. But if it's a two tight end or just a pro set and I was covering, it'd be a tight end.
Okay.
All right. No problem.
No problem.